Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Aleph, and we're holding at Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa, Patach L'Pitcha L'Hai Parshat HaMihalcha. We've been going through all of the various openings that provide us a gateway to understanding Esther, and this is part of the whole idea of Hachana, so that we should see the context clearly and then be able to be Dereish to Pesukim. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Popa, he would begin his drosha on Esther like this: Irkafta enosh l'roshenu banu be'eish u'vamayim, as David HaMelech writes. So Klal Yisrael had a ben Adam over our head, and that we darshan in brachas means anybody who's dependent on a human being is going through hell, fire and water. So this is, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. So where was this? This is be'eish, that was bimei paro, where Be'esh was Bimei Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar used the fire to actually, he thought he was going to be able to kill Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and B'mayim, when all of the children were thrown into the Yor, that was Bimei Paro, and then Vatotzienu L'Ravaya, in which we were like, whoa, all of a sudden everything changed instantly, and we're brought out into this brand new world of tremendous abundance, that's Bimei Haman. Rabbi Yochanan patach l'pitcha l'hai parshat HaMihalcha. Zochar chasdo v'emunato l'vit Yisrael, ra'u kol avsei aretz et Yeshuat Eloheinu. When did we see ra'u kol avsei aretz et Yeshuat Eloheinu? B'mei Mordechai v'Esther. Rav Tzadik explains, why are we saying this is dafka b'mei Mordechai v'Esther? As Rashi explains, that's when we sent out the letters all over the earth, Medinot, so when else could it be referring to? But the Pashtus is, it could have been referring to Mitzrayim, no? Over there it says all the waters of the entire world split in order that the entire world should know about the Nisei Hayam. So why can't we use that? So he says, an interesting point, that there's no Ra'u, because over there was Osei Pele. And Osei Pele means that you don't really grasp, you don't really see it. Yes, you may know about it, but where was it? Ra'u, that's Tafka terms of Nes Nister, and that was Bimei Mordechai v'Esther. Resh Lakish patach l'pitcha l'hai parshat HaMihalcha. Arinohim. So we've got a roaring lion, and we got a dove shokek. Now, the idea of dove shokek is actually a machlokas between Rashi and Ibn Ezra, and other Rishonim get involved over there on the Pasuk. What is the word shokek? So Ibn Ezra learns shokek comes from the word shok, which means bears were trampling over things as they go walking around all the time, as we'll see. But Rashi learns that dov shokek, that shokek to a bear is a nohem to an ari. So in other words, the growling sounds that are made by a bear is called shikika. So therefore, it would mean a lion roars and a bear growls, and that's Moshe Rashal Amdal. That's when an evil Moshe, we don't call it a king, but a ruler, takes over a nation that is poor. What's that referring to? So Arinohim refers to Nebuchadnezzar because he's called an Ariyeh. Allah Ariyeh Misubcho. It says, the lion has gotten out of his thicket and is on his way to destroy us. The Dov Shokek, that refers to Achashverosh, because we know that when Daniel saw the Malchus that came immediately after Babel, and this was Paras, and it says the second monster that Daniel saw was Aruch Hevia Acharei Tinyana, and it looked like a bear. So what would it be, a bear? So Rabbi Yosef says, of course it's a bear. That refers to Persians, because first of all, they eat and drink like bears. They're fat slobs with their fat hang down all over the place, which looks like a bear. So they're Mesurbalim Basar Kidom, and they're hairy like bears. So they're Megadlim Seyar Kedov, and they never sit still, always walking around trying to do something else. It can't have any menucha. So Ein Lehem Menucha Kedov, a bear is always pacing back and forth. Never see a bear sitting and relaxing. So that was a reference to the growling bear. Moshel Rasha refers to Haman. Al Am Dal refers to Yisrael, which are at that point, that was Gufa, the way that we're going to see, the way that Haman himself was able to persuade Achashverosh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to come to protect them because they were Dalim B'mitzvos. So this is referring to Yisroel, Sheim Dalim Mina Mitzvot, because he says Yeshno Amakat. Yeshno means Yeshenim Mina Mitzvot. They're not paying attention to mitzvot. Rebbe Lozer Patach, Yitchalai Parshata Mihacha. Ba'atzaltayin imacha mikare uvshiflut yadayim yidof habayit. Now this is a very remarkable pticha, because what he's doing is not even talking about the time of Haman, the involvement of Bavel, and the context of the times. He looks at the entire issue the way we originally looked at the attack of Amalek. And amazingly, Chazal tells us that Amalek comes in Rifidim. Why in Rifidim? Shirafu Yedeya Min HaTorah. So they became lazy and didn't really put their lives into the Torah. So Rabbi Lazar, he looks at the entire story of Purim as having the same occurrence as Rifidim. And this is another attack of Amalek based on Rafu Yadayim. Therefore, we take a look at the Pasuk, and the Pasuk indeed says, Ba'at Saltayim, it's because of laziness that Yimach HaMikare. And we'll see why we know that this is referring to Dafka, the period of Purim, in a moment. So Ba'at Saltayim means Bishvil Atzlut Shaya Lem Yisrael Shalo Asku B'Torah. Nase Son O Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mach. Yimach HaMikare. The roofer became basically poor, because his was so lazy and he did such a poor job. So this is as if we're using a euphemism, Nazas son Osha Akadosh Baruch Hu Mach. You made Akadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, poor. Akadosh Baruch Hu was trying to support you, to give you everything that you need, and he was unable to do so because of your maisim, and this is through the inyonim of Bitul Torah and not caring. How do we know that Mach means poor? Because, so we find that there we have a special din. If somebody can't afford to pay for the erech that he donated to the Beis HaMikdash, what it is that we do when we do that special assessment for him. And here's how we know that it's referring to Purim. Because how do we talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu over here? We talk about him as a roofer. But a roofer is a mikareh. And a mikareh means the one who makes coincidences happen. Mikareh is a mikra. But since the whole Purim is based on Neis Nistar in making coincidences happen, so it means that a roof, if you take a look at the roof from the outside, it provides an overall perspective to the various details that inside appear unrelated to each other when you're in one room or another room. But the roofer sees the perspective of the whole thing. And therefore, he has a double meaning. So obviously, it's a reference to Purim. Amazing, no? So, in mikareh el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this goes back to the whole connection of the Bria Sa'olam, where we say, HaMikareh v'mayim aliyotav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu roofs, so to speak, the Mokar and the Shamayim with mayim. Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak patol apitchal hay parshata mihacha, and he began with Shir HaMa'alot. Lulei Hashem shayalanu yomar na Yisrael. Lulei Hashem shayalanu bekum alinu adam. It's a very strange thing to say when a man, if we take it literally, when a man came up. I mean, like, when were we affected by a person? I mean, it was always a malchus, wasn't it? So this obviously means that there was a point in history where Klal Yisrael was threatened by an individual, an adam, and not a melech. And that has got to be referring to Haman. Rova patach lapitchalai parshat miyach. Birvot tzadikim yismach am. Umimshor rasha yanach am. So where you have tzadikim and they are the ones on top, people are in a state of happiness. But when you have rishayim, people are moaning and groaning. What is that a reference to? That's the whole beautiful way that the entire Megillah keeps speaking about the difference of what the reaction was among the tzaddikim, among Yisrael, and what the reaction was among the Umas Ha'olam in both directions. So, Birvot tzaddikim yismach, that is when Mordechai and Esther were on the top, and there it says, at Yir Shushan, tzalav esamecha, but bim shorasha yianacha, because then it says, at Yir Shushan navocha, and that we read even with the song of Echa, V'ayir Shushan Navocha. That very much stresses that difference between the state of the world, which when you read the newspapers every morning, you can only moan and groan. So that's Bimshol Rasha. And then very soon, the newspapers will only be filled with Yisbacha. Fine. Rav Matna Amar Mihach. Ki mi goy gadol. Asher lo Elohim krovim elav. When it says Miacha, the Gemara essentially has gotten tired of saying Potach lo pitcha lai pashata Miacha. So we're sort of shortening it to, okay, my petach was from here. That's how Rashi understands it. So the mi goy gadol. So there, the whole point was that the claim was that Yeshenime minam mitzvahs and that HaKadosh Baruch has forgotten about us and that there's not going to be a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, as we're going to see in the whole cheshbon that is made. So that is good for what happened. That no, on the contrary, mi goy gadol, it doesn't matter. Even if they are to you, a mufurad, mufuzar mufurad ben ha'amim, it's Eloheinu b'cho koreinu elav. And this is actually one of the deep reasons that Rishonim bring for the whole takana of the Megillah, because it was meant to be Megala b'chol koreinu elav, even in the worst possible matzavim when we were scattered throughout the world. Me'av esrim v'sheva medinot, mi goy gadol asher Elohim krovim elav. And this was the response to Tefillah, which is so important in the whole story of Purim, that we're koveya the idea of Tainis Esther right before Purim, in order to introduce the interrelationship of Tainis and Megillah. Rav Ashi Amar Miacha. There's another Pesach Patach Lapischa. Oh, Hanisa Elohim. So going back to the way that Moshe Rabbeinu describes Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hanisa Elohim Lavo Lakachat Bo Goy Mikerav Goy B'Masot Ba'otot V'Moftim U'V'Milchama U'V'Yad Chazaka V'Zrona Tuya. And that actually was repeated in the story of Purim. So in other words, what it was that you wanted to do was done to you. That was the story specifically that Paro said, let's use Mayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't punish us on Mayim because he already promised. And here, it was essentially the same idea. Because the kviyas of that day, the Venahafahu, utilized the original Igrot to actually take all of that and turn it around, Venahafahu, in which it was the miracles, Hanisa Elohim. Okay, now we have finished the Pischa, the Parsha. Now let's start the actual Parsha. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh. The Rav says, look at that word vayihi, and it actually is a sound of vay and he. And vay means oy vey. And he is a word that is used in Tanakh for the sounds of kinois and aveles. Hada dechtiv vitmakartem sham lo'evecha la'avadim v'lishvachot. So it was ein koneh. So this was like the absolute worst, because this is what Esther said in the end, right? V'ilu lavadim l'shvachot nimkarnu echarashti, ki en atzar shove b'nezek hamelech. So that apparently it wasn't even possible to get yourself sold as a slave and therefore be under the protection of the individual that had purchased you, because Haman had made it usher to even have us as slaves. That's what it's Meram is to in the Medrash. Shmuel Amar. The idea going back over here, he says that the truth is that there's something very strange about the Seder, because we shouldn't have started the Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh if we're going to be getting back into the discussion of the Pischa Parshata. So there is a different girsa that doesn't have the Omar Rav until later, after we finish all of the inyanim of the parashla, the pischas. So it could be that this really should come at the end, after we go through the maimorim of Shmuel.
Or the gra that takes out Vibi Mechashrosh and makes it immediately next to it.
That's why the gra changes the place, right, based on that girsa. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel, so this would mean that he was, this it doesn't even say Shmuel Amar Mihocha. So some, there's definitely some kind of transition over here, but it isn't clear which gears that we should use. So Shmuel darshins the lo ma'astim velo ge'altim lechalotam, and this is lo ma'astim. So when is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been disgusted by us? That was b'mei Yevanim. Lo ge'altim, when would he have been nauseated by us? That was b'mei Nebuchadnezzar. And when was there an actual possibility of complete destruction, lechalotam? That is dafka by Haman. And then la'afer briti tam, that's referring to the time of the Parsim. Again, there's problems with the Gersaot over here, because the Pashtus is that this is referring to the Romim, where over there, there was the bris that goes all the way back to the original Yaakov Esav bifurcation. And Ki'ani Hashem Elokeim refers to the Osid b'mei Gog u'Magog. In the Braita, it says, different than Shmuel, Lo Ma'astim is talking about b'mei Kasti. Where do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't feel disgusted? Because Hamarati Lem Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, look at the incredible people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent in order to be there to give us a Yeshua. V'lo ge'altim b'mei Yevanim. Because even during the time of the Yevanim, we find the leadership of Shimon HaTzadik, and we have the Chashman Noyim Bubanav, and we have Matis Yoko and Gadol at the time of Hanukkah. This all takes place during the time of the Yevanim. L'chalotam b'mei Haman, who were the leaders then? Mordechai ve'Esther. La'fer briti tam b'mei the Parsim, what is that referring to? That's referring to Beis Rebbe and the Chachmei Deres. So again, the Pashtus is that this is talking about the later Parsim, or it's talking about the Romian, but the Ummah of Paras that came in the middle of Rome. Ki'ani Hashem Elokeihem, that's referring to La'atid Lavo, where over there, in Ko Ummah V'Lashon Yechola L'Shlot Behem at all. Reb Levi Omar Mihacha, which is the Parshata, and this is an amazing one, because we are noted to believe that the pasuk that speaks about im lo torishu et yoshvei ha'aretz mipnechem ve'haya asher totiru mihem l'sikim b'nechem u'l'tzninim b'tzidechem, you're talking about the thorns in your sides, that we think that that's a reference only to the shivim umais. Masha Einkein, Levi is saying that no, it's a reference to any time that you treat your enemies without the full force of what it is that you're supposed to do in order to destroy them. And instead, you believe things like proportionate response and all kinds of nonsense like that. The end result is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do to you what it is that you didn't do to them. So that's Im Lo Tiroshu, as we'll see in a moment. Vayakasher Dimiti La'asot La'em Es Lachem. Exactly. That's part of that same pasuk and that same idea. So this is a reference to the whole beginning of the story of Purim, in which Shaul was told to destroy Amalek, and instead he gives us this namby-pamby Western nonsense about, you know, what did they do? And they're innocents. We don't want damage, ancillary damage of innocent citizens, and so on and so forth. Because of that, he allowed Agag to remain alive to basically father Haman that night. And because of that, we end up with Purim. So it's exactly the point. You are supposed to do what you got to do. And then says Reb Chiya, yes, that's the point. I wanted to do this to them. So the damiti, as we'll see later on, I will make it look like that's what I'm going to do to you. Okay. Thank God we were saved at the last moment. So it's only damiti. So, okay. Anyway, so now we get to the actual words of the Megillah itself in this version. So this is now the beginning. This is the way that the Gra changed it. That we took the words Vayibi Me'achashverosh that had been not properly inserted before, made it look like we were already starting our Megillah drush, and then all of a sudden in the middle we remember, oh wait a minute, we got a few pischas. So it makes much more sense to put that in now. So over here, we should put in the words, Vayi, Bimei HaKashvei Rosh, and then we get to the Drasha of Rav. Omar Rav, there's a understanding of Achashverosh. First, we have to put in that first part of the meaning of Vayehi, Vay, and he. And furthermore, what's that name of Achashverosh? Achiv Shel Rosh uben Gilosh Shel Rosh. He is like the Ach to the Rosh, meaning what? He's the Achiv Shel Rosh. Look, I mean, the guy who was really on top of this whole thing and set up the whole Bavel. I mean, that's Nebuchadnezzar. And he is called in the Neo, in the vision of the monsters, he was onto Resha Didahava. You are the golden head on that monster. And that is a reference, therefore, to Rosh. Ach Rosh is Achashverosh. Ben Gilo Sharosh means you've got the same kind of personality. So you're going to deal with the Yehua Ragnabuchadnezzar killed people. And he destroyed all of those hundreds of thousands or millions of people at the time of the Churban. And Achashverosh wanted to do the same thing. Vashmid la'arog la'abed, who bekeish la'arog. Who Hechariv Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Achashverosh wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash by preventing the rebuilding of the Mikdash for all of those years. Shenemar b'malchut Achashverosh b'tchilat malchuto katvu sitna al yoshvei Yehudah v'Yerushalayim. And this was actually by the children of Haman, who were located in Eretz Yisrael as the some of the governors there. They did their best to prevent the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Mishmuel Omer, another meaning to Achashverosh is Shahush Cheru Pneim Shal Yisrael B'yamav. So it means Shachar. He turned everyone's face dark and black, like the Shulei Kedera, like the bottom of a pot. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, there's another meaning. Achashverosh means that whenever you remember this guy, you say, ach, oh, my head. So I got a migraine just thinking about this idiot. So Gosh Yisrochro Omer, ach, Berosho. And Rabbi Hanina says, it's ach, the meaning over here is rush. That is to say, you become poor. So it's ach, rush, oy vavoy, that we've all become so poor. And this is because he was so obsessed with taxes that all of his great progressive measures at the beginning, in which he let everybody off of taxes, of course, in order to get elected, at the end of the Megillah becomes Vayasem HaMelech Achashverosh Mas al Haaretz. So basically, he copies Biden. Anyway, who Achashverosh? What do you mean, who Achashverosh? Well, remember, who is that existential word? So it means, do not mistake this wonderful, progressive liberal who invites everybody into his home and gives everybody the party. This was the beginning of the concept of party, in which political parties became parties. That was all, no, this is serious. This is all part of the revolution that Achashverosh was actually, he brought about a revolution in government in which the king was actually a politician. And then, so you would think, okay, so, you know, he just was influenced by Haman. No. And when it comes out at the end, you see what he was all along. And therefore, we have to say Hu Achashverosh so that the story needs to be understood within the context of Achashverosh. Even though he seems to be nothing but a pawn, in reality, that pawnhood, so to speak, that he takes upon himself is the context for all of the things that happen in the Megillah. We see that that is what it is. We find the same thing. It says Hu Esav. This is Edom. Hu Esav. Hu Berisho Mitchilato Vatzofo. Even though it wasn't clear at the beginning, it's absolutely in the end, the mechira of the Bechorah, that was part of his commitment to Rishas from the very beginning. So that's something you need to know. What about Dasan Vaviram? Exactly the same thing. Hu Datan Vaviram, it's the same exact Datan Vaviram that came out, what they really were in the Machlokas of Korach. And this is the same Datan Vaviram. All of those roots were there. And when they started fighting Moshe Rabbeinu as a kid, and there he was, there's Moshe, he's 14 years old, and he's a big shot, and Paro has given him important control and made him a Rosh for various things in the government. And so he's going out, you know, dressed to kill, and he's the new kid on the block. And they come out, they're the first ones to come out. Who made you important, you idiot? You're nothing but a kid, is right. That's this week's parsha. So that's the same Datan Vaviram that were committed to this. This is not a momentary response to an uppity kid. Hu Hamelach Achaz. So this is a reference to the Achaz, who even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was punishing him, he turned away to do even more rishis. So Ubrishom Etchilato Vatzofon, now we see. This, by the way, not everybody learns like this, but most learn that it's at sofo is the Kiddush in all these cases. And I don't think that's true at all. The Kiddush is that that's the way it always was. Avram, hu Avram, hu bitzitko mitchilato v'at sofo, hu Aharon Moshe, hein bitzitkan mitchilatan v'at sofam. So as we saw all along from the very beginning, there was always that commitment in both of them to achieve what it is that they achieved in the end. David hu hakatan. Now here it's Gufa referring to Katnuto possibly, even though even over here we could say it's Mitgaleh at the end, how it was that he was. But the Pashto says here it means that he remained what he was. So Kashem Shipikatnuto iktinatsmoitsu misha godol menu bitera bechokma, kach b'malchuto iktinatsmoitsu misha godol menu bitera. And that's why we found back in Brachas, remember that he said, everything that I do, I go and I ask, you know, Mipi Boshet Rabbi, do you think I did the right thing? Is this the right pshat? And he always was mocked in himself. The next word in that pasuk, Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, Hamolech. Hamolech, what does that mean, Hamolech? Not Shemalach? So Omar Rav, this means Hamolech. He was the one who made himself king. In other words, he did not inherit the kingdom. So Amri Leila Shavach, Amri Leila Gnai. Amri Leila Shavach, Dolavinish Tachashim Lamalka Kavate. If a guy is able to get the leadership, so then it must mean that he rose to the top of the pack. And therefore, wow, he's really quite a guy. But others say, no, it's a politician. So what this means is Amolech, he is not really deserving to be a melech at all. And he wasn't Kazi Lamalchuta. So it means he was able to be the best fundraiser. And as the best fundraiser, he's the one who got elected. Okay. So Mamona Yetero Hudayoyev Vakam, he was the one who got the most money to invest in becoming the melech. Amolech, Mihodu Ve'at Kush, Ravishmo. We're talking about from one end of the world to the other, in which case we would be referring to India and Kush in Africa. And they're right next to each other. So what's the big deal about being Malach and Hod about Kush? To teach me, we find the same thing that said about Shlomo Malach. Shlomo HaMelech was in charge of the entire Eivor HaNa'ar all the way from Tifsach to Aza. Now, where is Tifsach? Where is Tifsach, Barnea? Is it your neighborhood anywhere? Oh, my gosh. So it must be, obviously, on the other side of the earth if it's not part of Barnea's neighborhood. So that's clearly a raya to the Shita that it's Bisofo Lamat Sofo and two different sides of the globe. Otherwise, Halacha Raya, right? Okay, so this is Guva Machlokas. Rav and Shmuel argue, according to one, Tifsach is on one end of the world. So it's B'sof Olam, V'Azah B'sof Olam. Whereas the other one says, no, Tifsach and Azah were actually right next to each other. And it's saying, Kishem Shemalach, Hal Tifsach V'Al Azah, Kach Malach HaKol Olam Kulot. Sheva V'Yasrim, U'meya Medina, Om Rav Chisda. Why this presentation in that order? 7, 20, 100, because b'tchila malach al sheva, l'besov malach al esrim, l'besov malach al me'ah. What he did was a gradual takeover. So he managed to put himself into power into 7 provinces. He used that to build his way up. How do you say that in business when you take your initial small investment and you, what do you do with it? There's a special
grow word. You grow it.
No, there's a special word. Okay, shoot. Okay, but anyway, so he utilized.
He leveraged.
Yes, thank you. So he leveraged that into a 20 medinos from it. And in the end, that got him the other 100. So again, it's talking about the concept of the molech, the way that this was something that was so politically complex and that he managed to do for himself. Says the Gemara, I understand. I mean, if that's the way you're going to read it, so how do you explain the pasuk? Let's say, I mean, lots of psukim like this. Shnei chaye Amram, sheva u'shloshim u'mat shana. So what does that mean? Like he leveraged it. What does that mean? Now, obviously, that's just the way we count numbers. No, I'm not pointing out the way in which the numbers are presented. I'm pointing to the fact that it was necessary to mention these numbers because we know anyway from the pasuk of Mehodavat Kush that he was in charge of all of these medinot. It says later we sent out all of the messages to 127 countries. So that's given. And he was the one in charge of all of those countries. Shmamina Lidrasha. Tana Rabbanan, speaking of this idea of a malchus that is global, there were only three people, and Mefarshim explained, only three people mentioned in the Torah that had global reach. The Elohim, Achav, Achashverosh, v'Nebuchadnezzar. So even though there may have been plenty of other people, I mean, Alexander the Great had global reach in Chazal terms, as we see from many Gemaras, but fine, but they are not mentioned in the Torah. So Achav, however, is, and the fact that he has that global reach is mentioned, so to Achashverosh and so to the Nebuchadnezzar. What does it say that in Achav? Because when Elio appears, so Ovadia says to him, oh my God, Chaya Hashem Elokecha Yesh Goyim Amlecha Shelo Shalach Adoni Shem Levakeshcha, my master Achav has been looking for you all over the globe. There's not a single country that he hasn't pushed into a corner and forced them to look and to report back to him. So how could he possibly have had that kind of pressure if he didn't actually rule over the world? Anybody who does not actually give his head underneath the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to get rid of them. So in Yirmiyahu, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gezer. The whole world has got to put their neck under him. And Achashverosh, we just showed you. That was the Me'avitzrim Hashemah. But what about Shlomo HaMelech? Betuleka? No, but Shlomo HaMelech ended up losing his malchus. Lo Solek Malchusin. That's the whole story in the Gemara about how he got thrown out when he started up with the head of the Shedim. Well, wait a minute. That's a machlokas about whether he made it back, isn't it? I mean, Hanichal Amani Amar Melech Vehed Yot. What about according to Amani Amar, who says that he was a Melech Vehed Yot, but then he was given back his malchus. It came back to Yerushalayim. So according to Amani Amar Melech Vehed Yot V'melech Ma'ikal Amemar, why isn't he listed as the fourth king that was Melech Bekipa? Answers the Gemara, because he's in a completely different class. Because Shlomo HaMelech had an additional point, Miltach Rita Havibe, because it says, Vayeshev Shlomo Kisei Hashem. So since he was actually Malach al Elyonim v'al Tachtonim, that we're not going to put him together with these other low-class people in comparison. Well, what about Sancheriv? Sancheriv sent over the message, Mi b'chol Elohei Aratzot Elohim Tzilut Artzam Miyadi. When he came to capture Yerushalayim, he said, give me one example of any god anywhere in the world that was able to prevent my victory over them. Okay, yeah. But in the end, he did not make it over Yerushalayim. That drove him crazy, as we see from his own writings. So Ika Yerushalayim, the Lord Kipshah, it was the one thing he was unable to have, so he wasn't Malach Bekipa. Well, what about Daryavesh? It says, Daryavesh Malka, Katav L'chol Amamaya, Umaya V'lishnaya Di Dairin B'chol Ara Shlomchan Yazge. So over here, Daryavesh writes this amazing letter to everywhere on the earth, and he wants everybody to know about the story about the Neil and the lions and Bimafarsim, the Nates. It says he wrote all over the earth. Okay, he may have written letters all over the earth, but that doesn't mean he ruled over them, because Ha'ika Sheva the Lo Malach Alayot. Here it says, Shvar Kodem Daryave, Shvikim HaMalchut, Elachashdap Naya, Me'ave Esrim. It says over there that Daryavesh was able to appoint 120 governors. What happened to the other seven? So apparently he did not actually have a malchus over the whole 127. What about Koresh? Koresh. We even have this inscribed on Koresh's grave. Ko amar Koresh, melech poras, ko mamlechot haaretz, natan li Hashem elokei ha-shamayim. God has given me over every country on earth. Yeah, so that's what he says about himself. Thank you very much. That's what Steve Jobs says about himself. So, where does it say in the Torah that that's what was given him? Yes, Rabbanei, are you sure you want to interrupt?
Yes.
I really would appreciate it if you wouldn't, but okay.
No. The Kirch monolith, Shalmaneser talks about, look at all these kings who came against me. Achav is one of 12. So you see there Achav's connections. When Avadya says he contacted all the kings, you see it in print.
Thank you. Anyway, so over there he was just praising, self-praise. Getting back to the Megillah. Wait a minute. Kishevet HaMelech HaKashverosh means that he had just taken over. And then right afterwards it says, Bishnat Shalosh Lemolcho. How could you be just taking over Kishevet and say that that's the third year? That doesn't make any sense. Omar Rava, Kishevet does not mean when he took over. It means when he was secure. Yeshiva is security. And the fact was that for the first 2 years, he was very insecure. So it was only Le'acha Shinit Yashiva Da'ato. And that took his first 2 years because the terror of all of these people was the famous Nevuah that everybody knew, that the Jews were going to be taken out of Golis after 70 years. And if they were taken out of Golis, that's the end, as everybody understood, that's the end of him. Because, I mean, the only reason that Nebuchadnezzar was given Malchus, the only reason that any of these people, like Paro, are put into a position of power is because of the fact that they have to be the Malchus, which is going to provide for Yisrael. The minute, that's the Vayhi Bishalach Paro, right? That's the, Paro was in misery when he sent the Jews away, because that's the Medrash, Moshe L'Madar V'Dayma. The same thing was true. They were terrified. If, in fact, this Nevias takes place, so then we're not going to have any Malchus left. And this is what happened to Belshazzar, remember. Belshazzar made a cheshbon, takes out the Beis HaMikdash's kelim, and then comes the writing on the wall. And that's the end of Belshazzar. So he's afraid the same thing is going to happen to him. So he says, okay, Belshazzar chishev et ha'ah. Obviously, Belshazzar made a big mistake in the way that he figured those 70 years. I'm going to do it right. I will discover the source of his error, and I'll do it correctly. So what exactly is this all about? Mayi. Well, the point over here is that we've got some serious contradictions in the psukim that describe what is going to happen in the Golos. So if you take a look, first of all, at the way, we have to get a little bit of background, because in Malachim it says, Vayetzei Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda Melech Bavel, Hu v'imo v'avadav v'sarav v'sarisav, Vayikach oto Melech Bavel v'shnat shmona l'molcho. So there it says that this was a whole story, remember, that Shlomo, that Nebuchadnezzar comes, takes over the country, and has this deal going in which he's going to be the Melech and Yisrael is going to be tribute and everything will be fine. He takes over the Malchut of Yehoyakim. And what happens is that there was a merit that Yehoyakim, he stuck with his commitment for 3 years. And then he's got this Merida. And after this Merida, in the end, that gets rid of him. So Nebuchadnezzar comes back, he kills him, and he replaces him with Yehoyachin, who is his son. Fine. So then he goes back to Bavel. He goes back to Bavel, and as Rashi brings, his advisors say to him, our dear king, there is a well-known adage, which is a real bitch never has a good pup. And that's exactly what you've done. You know, so you killed the bitch and now you've got the pup. And you really think that your new Yehoyachin, like he's going to be a solution. You're crazy. So he goes back, he gets rid of Yehoyachin, takes him to Bavel. And this is like the beginning of a concept of Gola. So he brings him, and then he appoints now Tzidkiyahu. And then Tzidkiyahu is king, and then he makes a mistake of also doing the Merida. And after some time, we're going to go through the Cheshbon, he comes back and destroys the Beis HaMikdash together with Tzidkiyahu and so on. So what was the problem? The problem was that there are many different psukim. So in if you take a look in Malachim, it says that it was Yehoyachin was taken Bishnat Shmoneh to the Melech of Bavel. Now, at the end of Yirmiyahu, it says, "Vayigel Yehuda mi'alad mato zeh ha'am asher higlan nebuchadnezzar bishnat sheva l'malchuto." Now, which one was it? Was it the eighth or was it the seventh? Now, we also have at the time that Tzidkiyahu went into was destroyed with the Beis Hamikdash. It says over there, "Ubachodesh hachamishi b'shiva l'chodesh." He shnat sha esrei shana lemelach Nebuchadnezzar, ba Nevuzradan, eved melach Babel, vayisrovet beit Hashem, vekobate Yerushalayim. I'm skipping words in the pasuk as we go through it quickly. So that means it says it was in the 19th year. Now, if you take a look at the end of Yirmiyahu, it says, bishnat shmonasre leNebuchadnezzar, it says that over there, it was the 18th year. So, which one was it? The 18th or the 19th? Or was it the 7th or was it the 8th? So we have two dates over here for each of the central events. One event of the Yehoyachin issue and one event of the Tzidkiyahu issue. Both of them are given two dates, which are 1 year apart from each other. 7 and 8, 18 and 19. How do we explain that? Well, there's another contradiction. The other contradiction is that we have in one pasuk it says, "Ki lefi melot lebavel shivim shana efkodetchem." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Yirmiyahu, "I'm going to be giving you a geula in the 70th year from the time of Bavel." And then on the other hand, it says a pasuk that talks about lemalot lechorvot Yerushalayim. Shivim Shana. That is a completely different idea because Lefilamot Melot Bavel, that meant apparently in the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus. And then it says that no, only when Yerushalayim was destroyed, but Yerushalayim was destroyed actually 19 years after the beginning of the Malchus. He had all of these various things in between. 1 year, that was the year in which he completed taking over from Ashur. And that was only completed after the destruction of Nineveh. So that first year, he was setting himself up as the new empire. And then he had all of that period in which he attempted to get Yehoyakim and then replaced him with Yehoyachin until finally he had to take Yehoyachin into Golos, into Bavel. And then we had the additional years of Tzidkiyahu, and then that was another 11 years until the actual Churban. So how do we explain the two psukim? These are very different counts. Is it Melot Lebavel Shivim Shana or is it Melot Lechorvot Yerushalayim? So Belshazzar, here's Belshazzar's mistake. He thought, and he only looked at that first pasuk. By the way, there are girsaot that take out the second pasuk here, Lemalot Lechorvot Yerushalayim, because it doesn't belong here. Because Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar were both actually not aware of the implications of that pasuk, but we'll get back to it. But it's really the pasuk lemalot lechorvot Yerushalayim shivim shana should be introduced later. So what it was that Ahasuerus says to himself was that Belshazzar made a big mistake, and his mistake was that he thought that it begins with malot lebavel is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. So he took 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, which was the entire Nebuchadnezzar's reign. He added to that 23 years, and we'll see in a moment where we get this from. He added to that 23 years of Avim Rodach, and then the first 2 years of his own reign, of Belshazzar's reign, add that up, and you get 70 years. So he says to himself, okay, apparently the Jews are not going to have a geula. This was all a bunch of hogwash. Afik mani deve magdasha. And that's when he takes out the Beis HaMikdash's kelim, and he makes this big banquet as a feast in honor of the destruction of the Jews and the final loss of the Beis HaMikdash, and to show, he brings out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he makes a l'chaim to everybody, giving out the kelim that were used in the Beis HaMikdash. That's when he was destroyed. Now, by the way, says the Gemara, where do we get these figures from? How do we know that Nebuchadnezzar was king for 45 years? That's because if you take a look at those other psukim that I introduced the sugya with, 7 and 8, 18 and 19, 7 and 8 in the Yoyachin between Malachim and Yirmiyahu, 18 and 19 in terms of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, also Yirmiyahu Malachim. So, because of that, the Braita explains that each of these events had two different dates. Why? Because they were Golu in the original Golus of Yoyachin was the seventh year, and that's also the eighth year, as we'll explain in a moment. And then Tzidkiyo, which was the big Golus, that was in the 18th, which is also in the 19th, depending how you count it. And here's how we explain that. They were Golu B'sheva. That was 7 years of the Kivush of Yoyakim. So 7 years after the Kivush of Yoyakim, that was the first Golas, the Golas of Yehoyakim. But that was the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar had started, as I told you, in that first year, taking over from Ashur, and that required him to destroy or to take over Nineveh. And then the 18th and 19th is explained like this. Tzidkiyo, whose Golas, which was the big Golas of everybody, that was in the 18th year after Yehoyakim's original Kibush. So Bavel meant the way that Bavel ruled over us, not from the time that Bavel became a power. So that was in the 18th year from the time of the empowerment of Bavel over Yisrael with Yehoyakim. And then from that time, 18 years later, Tzidkiyo was destroyed along with the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the Golas of Tzidkiyo, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's own reign, because the Omar Mar, Shana Rishona, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he had to take over, complete his conquest of Ashur. And in order to conquer Ashur, you must take over Nineveh, which was the capital. And that year was used for the Nineveh, but it's the second year of his reign that he went and he took over Yehoyakim, which is the beginning of his control of Yisrael. And that lasted until, as we said, the eighth year, which is the ninth year of his reign, when there was no choice but to get rid of Yehoyakim, which went together with the Cheresh and the Masger, and that was the beginning of the end. So it says then, in the 37th year from the time of the Golut of Yehoyachin, in B'Shemes HaChodesh, that's when Evil Merudach Melech Bavel took out Yehoyachin from prison. So that means that Yehoyachin was already the Tamani, that means there were 8 years that Nebuchadnezzar had before the Yehoyachin Golas. And then obviously it was just another 37 years. And therefore, that was the 45th year of Nebuchadnezzar, which then ends with Evil Merudach. And that's Evil Merudach who then takes out Yehoyachin, who never deserved to be. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just the pup that they had insisted was going to go wrong. So he took him out of prison. But that means that there were 45 total years of Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus. Now, there was also 23 years of Evel Merudach. We don't have any source for that, but we know that that is a Kabbalah that we have. So that's a Gemara. And we do know that Belshazzar had been king for 2 years before taking out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. And so it was, because it says it was in the third year of Belshazzar. So he says to himself, all of this is what Achashverosh is thinking. This is what Belshazzar did wrong. And he said to himself, Hashtavadei tulo mifarkei, there's not going to be any geula. He takes out the money, the Beis Hamikdash. He uses the kelim, the Beis Hamikdash. How do we know that? Because that's exactly the interpretation of the writing of the wall. Because then when the hand comes out and writes on the wall, the takal, takal, and so on. So Daniel, who's interpreting it, tells him at the end of explaining what the words mean, the Amora Shemaya Hitromamtav Lamanaya de Betaya Haitif Kadamach, that you made yourself greater than the master of the world, the master of heaven, and you took out the kelim of his own home, and you had them brought in front of you to drink wine. And then the end of that story is, that very night, Belshazzar was killed, and Daryavesh Mada Kibel Malchuta Kibash Ninshitin Vitartin, and Daryavesh took over when he was at the age of 62. So that's what happened, and that's what went wrong. Ah, says Achashverosh to himself, Iumitatoi, he was all wrong. I know the solution, and I know what he did wrong, and I am going to fix it, and therefore I will know whether the Jews are going to have a geula or not. And what was his mistake? His mistake was he counted from what? Malchus Bavel. That was stupid. Obviously, the reference in the Navi LeBavel would mean the power of Bavel over the Jews. So it doesn't say LeMalchut Bavel. No, it says LeBavel. You know what Bavel must mean? It means to the Golus that Bavel had. That means the Yehoyachin. And that was already the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's when he should have counted, not from the first year. Okay, so we need another 8 years. So Kama Betzerin, how many years are now missing from the 70 years? 8 years. Okay, Tamani, I will add the 8 years, and here what will come out. So he puts in place of the missing 8 years of Belshazzar, he sticks in another 8 years. He says, okay, there was 1 year that Belshazzar hadn't counted. That was his third year, where he was at that point, and that's when he took out. So we've got 1 year there, leaves another 7 years. Between Daryavesh and Koresh, there are another 5 years, putting them together. We're making that assumption. We're going to get into the details later. And now my first 2 years are still getting up to that moment, and he's terrified. And that's why, of course, throughout the Megillah, the one thing that he's most frightened of, he says to Esther, anything you want, dearest, just don't talk to me about that damn Beis HaMikdash. That's the Dover HaKotzet HaMalchut. Right? So that's Ad Chatzi HaMalchut. I'm not ready to risk the whole Malchus for you. Okay, so then his first 2 years, he was terrified. So Tartidideh, that equals 8 years, which now make the full 70 years. He sees the 70 years, even with his corrections in the Cheshbon, nothing has happened. Came in the Chazid Amalo Shivim Velo Ifrak, he says, now we can be Kishevet HaMelech HaKashverosh. Hashta Vadai Tulo Mifarke, there's not going to be any Geula. He himself takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and that we see later on. V'kelim, mikelim shonim, and shonim means you're doing it again. You got to be crazy. Anyway, so Afik Mani Devei Magdash, takes out the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, uses them, and at that point, the Sutton shows up, dances along the table, gets Vashti killed, and that is the beginning of the end for them. Wait a minute. But that was a good cheshbon. What did happen? Oh my gosh. Vashapir cheshbon. No. He also made a big mistake because he should have counted like the other pasuk. Michorvot Yerushalayim, because this is Lamal Ot Lechorvot Yerushalayim Shivim Shana. He ignored that pasuk, and instead he looks at the pasuk that's convenient for him, the Bavel. And that, okay, so he added 8 years, but he needed to count from the actual Churban and not count from there. Here's where the pasuk that we mistakenly quoted before is put back in by those who took it out before. And it should say, Dichtiv, Lamalot Lechorvot Yerushalayim, Shivim Shana. So because of that, it was a mistake. Yeah, but it still doesn't work. Because even if you make that correction, it doesn't work. Because how many years are missing? Figure. The fact is that he left out 11 years because it took another 11 years from the those first golas till the 18th and 19th instead of from the 7th and the 8th. So that was 11 additional years. Fine. Put in those 11 additional years, and where should the geula have taken place? Way before it did. Because look, how many years did Ahasuerus? Ahasuerus was king for 14 years, right? Because that was the whole thing. It was the 12th year of his reign. They did the Pur, and then that Pur came out for the 13th year. And then it was the next year that the Pur had pushed it off for a whole year as far as it could possibly go. So that means it was the whole thing took place in the 14th year. So the total number of years until the Geret HaPurim HaShini, that was 14 years. So then that means 14 years while he's still king, the Beis HaMikdash should have been built, because that was 11 additional years. And it still wasn't built. So what's wrong? So Alama Ketiv, why then does it say Beferish that Baden Betelat Avidat Beit Elaha de Yerushalayim, that the Beis HaMikdash was canceled because of these letters, and it says Havi Batla, it remained in a state of not working on Achnat Tartin L'malchut Daryavesh Melech Paras until the second year of the reign of Daryavesh? What happened to the 14th year of Ahasuerus? And why was there no building of the Beis HaMikdash yet until then? Omar Rava, that's because Shani Mekuta Otave. What we counted as separate years for different Malachim, for we counted Koresh and Daryavesh, we counted Evel Merodach together with Nebuchadnezzar. But remember that we saw back in Rosh Hashanah, the same year can be counted for two kings. So we added two additional years, and those two additional years throw off the cheshbon until Daryavesh, as we'll see.